This is Kate Harness with 3078 Radio, and today I'm joined by Gard Jorgensen and Robert Garrison. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Doing good, Kate. Thank
now,
you.
Now, and you're here in your capacity as part of the Amateur Radio Club, which is here in Buffalo, which I must admit is something that I wasn't even aware existed, and that's partly why I wanted to talk to you today. But your organisation and the work that you are doing caught my attention at a recent county commissioners meeting. The county commissioners allocated $1,000 for a repeater, of which you gentlemen and your club are going to be custodians and gatekeepers of the repeater. Could you explain to us, for a start, let's just start at the beginning, what is amateur radio and how does it work? In simple terms, for those of us who are not very technically minded.
Okay, Kate. Some of us aren't technically minded either. Amateur radio has been around a little over 100 years. It's developed over time, and amateurs are kind of a group that gets to experiment and learn. So we're doing things that have never been done before on radios, and a lot of developments that have become commercial have come out of the workings of amateur radio. It's been just a fun hobby, but an avocation. And there's groups that do just experiments to learn how to do things better. We can bounce a signal off the moon if we want to. But we also have special interest groups, maybe, and most of the group here in Buffalo at the Buffalo Amateur Radio Club is very interested in emergency communications, specializing to that point. So we may talk with a little handheld radio that looks like the kids' walkie-talkie of 15 or 20 years ago to a radio that is larger and has a much greater distance that conversations can be handled.
And I think sometimes this is known as ham radio.
It is.
And if you want to know what that is, then I suggest you go and Google that, because we don't want to get lost in the weeds with ham radio. It's a fascinating title, but there's ham radio. But basically, amateur just means that you're enthusiasts and that you are not associated with a professional group, even though you may be part of a collective of some sort and you may be sharing expertise and knowledge. Is that right?
Yeah, we're not paid to do what we do.
Okay, you're just enthusiastic. So the emergency aspect that you described, Robert, is really part of what is this new repeater is about. Would you like to just explain the repeater and how it works?
A repeater is a radio. It's usually placed someplace in a high location. Can above a town or on top of a mountain or on top of a tall tower, that receives weak signals and rebroadcasts them in a stronger state and expands the range, generally, of the weaker signal. So somebody with a 5-watt handy-talkie can talk on through a repeater and maybe talk 40, 50 miles away.
Okay. And so I think we're all familiar with those sort of 5-packs that you buy. I think you call them blister pack radios mm-hmm. that you buy in Walmart or somewhere. Are we talking about those, or are we talking about something a little different?
Those radios, generally speaking, are known as FRS radios, family radio service. They're generally very low power, 0.5 watt to 2 watts. No license is required for them. And their range is very limited. You can only use the antenna that's on them. You can't use an auxiliary antenna. You can't go through repeaters with them. They're strictly radio to radio. Now, that's not to say that when you go to Walmart, you won't find some GMRS radios packaged the same way.
GMRS stands for?
General Mobile Radio Service.
Okay. And that is what we're talking about with your club, right? These sorts of radios.
Yes. We're talking about
okay, and so there's sort of what GMRS. I imagine is that they're a little bit sort of in between those radios that you might see on, you know, the hip of a cop or a sheriff's department or maybe an EMT or search and rescue and so on. We're sort of in a place between those little familial Walmart type walkie talkies and something that's just a bit more sophisticated than that.
That's a a good way to put it. Not 100% accurate, but it's a pretty good way.
No, and forgive my lack of expertise in this, and that's partly why I'm talking to you gentlemen. So the repeater, that what will that do? It will boost signal, but for what?
For whatever purpose the person on the other end is using it for. Typically, day in, day out, they're used for businesses, they're used for families. One of the big things they're used for anymore in rural areas is ranchers and farmers use them to communicate around their farms.
I was going to ask you for some specific applications. That's a great one. So how would a business use it, for example?
Well, auto parts store might use it to communicate with their delivery driver.
Why not use a cell phone?
Much easier to pick up a radio and push one button.
Okay. And we do know that you don't have to stray very far out of town down a road, and that sometimes, you know, the signal gets very patchy. You might be able to text, but you may not be able to hear clearly and so on. So this kind of overcomes some of the challenges of our Wyoming terrain.
It will overcome some, probably not all, but some.
Okay. And that, of course, would go back, I'm guessing, to the number of repeaters that are there to kind of bounce and allow signals to kind of extend.
The emergency services, sheriff, fire, police, they're all using repeaters. They're probably different frequencies than what we're talking about, but they're using repeaters as well. Repeaters are kind of a common thing today for short-range communications. And this repeater basically will do the same things. The portable radios that you're going to see the people using with them are going to be very similar to what the police are using, similar power. But these radios are not going to be restricted so much as to what you can use them for.
So this repeater that your club is going to be the gatekeeper of, it's been subsidized by the county commissioners, and they obviously feel, one of the things they said at the meeting was that, you know, there is an advantage to this in an emergency. Are you going to be using it on a daily basis, or is it just really for those emergency situations?
Our plan is that it's going to get used all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you described us as the gatekeeper of the repeater, and I think that's a good way to look at it. That repeater is going to be up, it's going to be turned on all the time, and if somebody wants to use it, they can use it. There's not going to be any permissions required beyond following the laws that go with GMRS radio, which are fairly minimal.
So where is it going to be?
We don't know that yet. We have several locations that we have access to that we could say, well, right now today we can go put it here. But we want to find the one that will cover the city the best and cover out into the county the furthest. Right now, we're leaning toward the airport. We have an amateur radio installation at the airport, which involves the county. And it's pretty high up there, so the likelihood is it will go there, but there are a couple other spots we're looking at.
Yeah, and if anybody's familiar with the geography up there, it says a nice open patch, and it's, you know, you get a good vista all the way around, so, you know, that would intuitively seem like a good spot.
These radios are what's called line of sight, meaning if you can see somebody, you can talk to them. Doesn't much matter how far away they are. So from a high location like that, anything that you can see, the radios are going to work in.
Oh, so I did want to ask you, what is the range? So if you can see the repeater, the radio will work?
You don't have to physically see it, but you have to be within sight of it. I mean, there might be a tree between you and it, but basically, they're considered curve of the earth radios. They'll go out as far as the curvature of the earth. These radios typically, with a good antenna and a high location, will get 30, 40 miles out of them.
So I think, you know, we typically think that we've got very sophisticated technology these days, and we have, you know, obviously good cell coverage most of the time. We think we have, you know, a good system of emergency response, either for just for law enforcement for their day-to-day work, or also for search and rescue, etc. I mean, why is that not just good enough? Why do we need it? Why do we need something else in to support our emergency services?
Well, it's never enough. You know, as Hurricane Katrina now over in Maui, probably what's going on in Florida right now, they're all learning that nothing is perfect. Nothing is beyond the touch of nature or some big event. And the more redundancy you have, the better off you are in terms of servicing an event like that.
But it seems to me you've got these amateur radios, so to speak, these ham radios that we've described. You know, they're more basic, so you would expect them, therefore, not to work as well as that maybe our more sophisticated systems. Are our more sophisticated systems more vulnerable because of their sophistication?
They can be. Amateur radios, and to an extent, this GMRS radio, are independent of one another, and they're maintained by individuals. If I don't do a good job of maintaining my radio, his is still going to work, mm-hmm. vice versa. If he doesn't, mine is still going to work. We're not dependent upon the internet. We're not dependent upon, we're really not dependent upon power. Most of us are all power backed up one way or another. This GMRS radio will be power backed up, so it'll run without power to it. Grid power.
So the kind of the classic radio and emergency services and so on, they require consistent power.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. Surely they have backup generators.
They do. I'm not really in a position.
Well, but you know a lot more about emergencies.
The county, the city, they have backup power, particularly a dispatcher is a large generator. They use repeaters. There's one up on just west of town on Windy Ridge. It has a large generator up there to do it. They have different backups around it, commercial, that can do different things and support. So a lot of the equipment that they use has special, maybe it's encryption, where they can, the conversation between a law enforcement and a car and dispatch might be encrypted, where ours is not. Their radios typically, instead of being a plastic case, are probably aluminum. So they're a little more rugged. I'd still run over them with a car and flatten it, mm-hmm. which is the thing. Anything can be broken. So it happens. And different things. We can use the example a couple of weeks ago where 911 dip went down.
And I think a number of people who had signed up for Code Red were awoken in the wee hours being told that 911 was down, they should use a cell phone, and then they were reawoken several hours later when it was restored.
Exactly.
So would your system be able to step into the breach in an example like that?
We're very careful on that, Kate, because we are not a replacement for 911. But we can be a relay if there's an emergency. And several of us in the club have been in that. I've been an on-scene responder to an accident. There was no cell phone coverage in that area. There were no buildings around either. But we had a radio that we could contact another amateur radio. They pulled off, so they were safe, not driving and talking. They were talking to police dispatch over in Grayville. And we got dispatched two ambulances actually. The sheriff's department, fire rescue came out, and we were helping on all that communication. So we can do the same thing. And the repeater, going back to that for just a second, while we talked about FRS, Family Radio Service, really can't utilize the speaker, they can't repeater, they can't talk on it. It's much like listening to the local radio station, whether it's AM or FM. We get their signal, so we know the news. We can get it off of the internet. We know the news. But when those links are broken, they were never talking to KBBS, for instance, because it's a one-way pattern. The FRS radios can actually hear our repeater. They just can't talk to us.
Okay.
So it's a benefit that even though someone with a really low capable radio can still get important information. It might be, hey, there's a hazardous material spill. Please shelter in place. You know, something like that. If we have it, as amateur radios, we've done this before, where we can give other information. Hey, there's a severe weather storm coming, according to National Weather Service, expect high winds. Those are some things that might occur not on a regular basis, but where someone else is hearing it. In fact, most of our little radios that we're talking about, FRS, GMRS, actually have the Weather Service NOAA weather built into it.
Okay.
So you can listen to it. So it's a two-way where we can communicate and take information, but we can also use it as a county extension to deliver information.
So it would be a way of supplementing information. So let's say there was an extreme weather event and the communication methods that typically advise us of that had gone down in a neighbouring district and we weren't getting information relayed as fast as we were used to. This would be another way of kind of providing up-to-date information, for example.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Okay. Thank you. And so it seems to me then that you want more of you here to maximise your net and your network of communications. Is that right?
Well, we do. I mean, there's two answers to that question. One, as a club, as amateur radio operators, we're hoping that more people will be interested in it, that instead of just talking around town, I communicate 600 miles a day with a number of people.
Okay.
One of those people yesterday was working with the National Hurricane Control Net, and he actually relayed health and welfare messages from Florida following the hurricane passing through outside to be relayed to people that couldn't get contacts via the radio or via the telephone, because all the telephone lines are down in northwestern Florida. So these are things that can be done that help people away from a disaster to know what's happening.
So this person that you were speaking to was based where?
Southern Colorado.
So he was based in Southern Colorado, and he was being able to facilitate communications from Florida back to Southern Colorado or just around anywhere else around the nation?
Anywhere around the nation. It was coming out of Florida, and as an example, you've got a lot of volunteers assisting disaster, like the Salvation Army, American Red Cross. So there are ways that we have to go into those. The Hurricane Watch Network might be keeping things in there, feeding information to the different VOADs or to FEMA even, because FEMA has location services under disasters. So we're just a tool that can be used no matter what to get information in or out, just depending on how the need is. It's pretty astounding.
It is. It's fascinating. And, you can see application for not only what's happening here in a locality. So let's say, for example, that we've had a dry spell and we had a tinderbox situation. We have a rapidly changing fire situation and so on. You can see how it could help our people locally, but you can also see how you could apply and be part of a national effort to support a different region that was having maybe a flood or a high winds or a Maui situation, for example.
Sheridan has a radio club, and they come down here and help us with things, and we go up there and help them with things where neither club has enough bodies to accommodate it. So
what do you need to be, if somebody's interested in thinking, oh, that sounds interesting, I'd like to be involved with that. What do you need to have a skill level? Is it an expensive hobby to take up? You know, what's involved?
You're asking about amateur radio?
Yes.
It doesn't have to be expensive. It usually gets that way eventually.
Well, hobbies that you like to do typically get more and more expensive because there's more and more kit and interest and there's more things to kind of delve into. So, yes.
Well, a GMRS radio that would work with the repeater that we're installing, you've got to be kind of careful. It's like anything. You buy too cheap and you're getting pretty worthless equipment. But you can get way past of this radio that I just pulled out. I got it yesterday.
I was just going to say that.
And I spent $80, and my wife is getting hers tomorrow when it comes in, and it's $60.
Do you pay to operate it? Is there a monthly fee?
No,
is there
no fee.
Any license or anything? You just it's costing you the electricity to charge it.
Yeah. Well, there is a license for some of the different things that we're talking about. Family Radio Service, FRS, is free to use by the FCC, Federal Communications Commission. They have rules you have to follow, but no license. GMRS, because it's a little higher power, and higher power in this case means that it works better, but it also has the potential of interfering with people. Mm-hmm. So you have to be aware of those things. It's $35 for a family license, and that license is good for 10 years.
Well, that seems very reasonable.
Yeah.
And that brings a question to my mind, which is, how does this all relate to what we might know as system band radio? And I'm thinking here, you know, the old, you know, the convoy.
Yeah. Smokey and the Bandit.
Smokey and the Bandit and Pigpen this year is Rubber Duck. Is this, are we talking about the same thing here, or is that something completely different?
Well, it's similar but different. All of FRS, GMRS, CB, Citizens Band, are all what are called personal radio services by the FCC. And they come under a special congressional regulation. I'm trying not to get politically technical how it works. And they even have personal beacons that you can take up that connect to a satellite and get your GPS. That's under there. Amateur radio is actually an entity within the FCC all into itself.
And the FCC is?
Federal Communications Commission.
Okay. So they're the regulators.
They're the regulators. And the licensing for ham radio, amateur radio, is we have to pass a written test. The lowest one is 35 questions, but there's 400 questions that it comes from. There are three levels. You don't have to get all three. You can just be content with the lower level, and it's mainly local communications. But we have the ability of using equipment that's been modified as opposed to having to go back down and buy it.
So now I'm really beginning to understand the value of not being a lone enthusiast and being part of a club, because you share knowledge and you share interests and you share all these different niche places within the amateur radio world, and you get to know that, you know, I bought this particular radio and it actually was an more expensive price, but it's a piece of junk, but I bought this and it was great, and you get to share and expertise. So it really is truly what a club is all about.
It is. And that's one of the goals that we have as a club, and being what I'm going to call a sponsor of this repeater, because we have several with the county itself. We've got some other people that are helping us. The American Legion is going to let us use their building for a class on September the 26th, where we're going to introduce people to GMRS and the repeater. It doesn't work for every radio, limitation of the radio, so we'll help them figure out which one will. Or how do you use yours, at least to just find out? You ask what we do, and I'm going to kind of backtrack. As a club, we helped the Buffalo Police Department during the county fair and rodeo parade. We actually, under their direction, closed off a half a dozen streets to traffic. We gave people that were passing through, mainly tourists, information. Well, we could put that on the GMRS radio and say, hey, Buffalo residents, don't forget the parade's going on in an hour, and if you don't want to go downtown and get stuck in traffic, don't show up. So we can give that kind of information. We worked with the YMCA with the Klondike Rush, and we know people that have been that since it started 45 years ago. So we have those community involvement. So our class is designed to help people understand how they could use the repeater, but how they also can use what they currently have. There's only about 18 families registered with GMRS, and we expect that to really blossom. The state of Wyoming Office of Homeland Security, and the search and rescue organizations and the association have a thing called B307 Aware. We won't go into the details on it, but it's a way that they're getting more information out to outdoor enthusiasts, saying if you're hiking the Bighorns and you have an FRS or GMRS radio and we're searching for you, here's what you can do to help us find you better. And this is just another piece of that same thing, how we can teach people that if they're out, what could they do to get help.
So what can you expect from this class? Is it a day long? How long are you?
It's going to be 2 hours long. I'm going to teach the class, so I'll answer the question. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is really kind of talk a little bit like what we're talking about. If you've already got a radio, we'll explain what its limitations or benefits might be. If you're hearing this for the first time and say, I'd like to have a backup system, what do I do? We're going to try to cover that too. And we'll get people information. We'll have some flyers and handouts. I've already visited the local establishments, businesses that sell GMRS and FRS radios. I haven't talked with them. I've just shopped them to see what they have. Mm-hmm. So we can go back to them and say, hey, this is what we're doing. If people are asking, these are what we're talking about. So we're trying to educate business to keep business local. So there's that aspect of it. The GMRS license and FRS, is free. Can be used by mom and dad. It can be used by the kids. We kind of watch on that. You've got to be very careful because we have things that happen across the United States. I'm not sure that I necessarily want little Billy talking to a stranger on the radio. It opens up some things, and we're going to talk about that. How do you know who you're talking to? How do you kind of watch that? We'll talk about our potential involvement with the county, and I talk about that from the standpoint of what could you expect to get in an emergency. Or if we say, hey, we've got an emergency in the county, please don't use the repeater while we handle emergency traffic, telling people what's going on or what's the latest thing. But other than that, people are free, and we want people to use it because a radio is intimidating. You're in broadcast on the internet. What was it like the first time that you knew that you were going to send that out over the air? It's a scary thought. And all of us in the amateur radio, we've done it. And when we go to a different service, I do another one. It's kind of like, oh, am I going to do this right? So there's a learning curve. And by talking on it, we help people get over that fright factor.
Thank you. And so if somebody's interested in the class, how do they find out about it? And do they just show up? I can put some details next to this post so people will be able to enroll. And
we'll give you the phone number. It's going to be at the American Legion. I'll give it to what's on the air right now. Tuesday, September the 26th at 6:30 in the evening. We'll keep it to an hour and a half. And we'll answer questions. And we've got a lot of people to mentor. Some of the guys that already have GMRS radios in the county, I've already talked to two or three of them that are licensed. They're pretty sophisticated users. They're just as equal to some of our amateur radio users. They're just specialized in a different market niche area of radios.
And is there a charge to join the class?
There's no charge for the class.
Okay. And you hope to garner some enthusiasm for your group and maybe get some more people on board?
We would like to think that people who aren't using radios at all start using GMRS radios and find out what they can do with them, and then find out what they can't do with them, and what we can do with amateur radios. It may encourage some of those to continue on up the line and get an amateur license. We can use a handy talkie like this on GMRS to talk all over Buffalo and out to the outskirts. We can use that same radio on amateur radio frequencies and talk to California or Florida or New York, depending on what service we're using. There's a lot of different services within the amateur radio realm. You can talk directly from one radio to another on the other side of the world, or you can go through a bunch of different repeaters with local frequencies. A lot you can do with amateur radio that we won't be doing with GMRS.
So you're really describing connections and connectivity, and sometimes that's for critical and crucial needs, and for other times that's just information sharing of a slightly less...
Most of the time it's going to be mostly information sharing and hobby-like kinds of things. But we're always here when things don't work out the way they're supposed to, and we're all ready to help when we need to.
And so you described, Robert, that you already have a relationship with PD, for example, at the at the parade, mm-hmm. And so on. Are there any other applications that you're working with them? I think some people may be a little concerned that, you know, maybe you're a sort of like a vigilante radio group. You are not. I assume that you actually, you know, work under the direction of the law enforcement rather than take things upon yourself.
They tell us exactly what to do. I have a county radio when I'm doing that function, and they can tell us on the radio, Robert, go ahead and shut down. Being non-technical, they use, you know, different names maybe. And go ahead and shut down the intersections. So we're doing that under their control. We acknowledge that we've shut them down. And we can't do some things, but the key is that they've never relinquished control. We're just an extension to help them, because if we have a problem on our radio between Snyder and Benton Street, we may say, hey, we've got somebody that's being really hard to deal with, and that's not our job, and they'll send an officer down to help us. Mm-hmm. But if we also are in the way, and I've seen this, and I've done parade control in Cheyenne and Frontier Days, someone's having a heart attack, we can get immediate coverage to the police dispatch in seconds, instead of waiting for, you know, where's my phone, what's the 911, you know, it's literally a second till we can talk, you know, or someone's had an accident. There was at the Fair and Rodeo Parade, some big RV went past me, went six blocks down to the south, and then got hung up on the bump in the road. Literally, they were stuck. They couldn't get over it. We didn't have to report that, but we've had people, amateur radio operators, that have picked up a call from another amateur radio operator about to drive his, was it a semi or an RV? I've seen both down Crazy Woman Canyon.
Oh, the one that got stuck down there?
Yeah. I've been on three relays between on scene and 911 for major accidents with fatalities. You know, so those are things that we have. We actually, to answer the other question, in the county's emergency action plan that Marilyn Conley and Emergency Management develops in conjunction with city and county, fire, LE, all these things, we have a function to provide communications for damage assessment. So, for instance, after the flood, 8 years ago, damage assessments going out, trying to check and see what problems have occurred. It was a major disaster for Buffalo, but it could be much worse. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's no phones. Well, we could put an amateur radio or even a GMRS radio operator that's trained for a little bit more, so there's avenues to get more involved. And they would communicate back to the EOC via radio messages when the phone system's not working. Or maybe there's no power. No, we don't know what the conditions are. So we're just trained and prepared to help in different things.
In the club, our club is not very big. I think we have a little over 20 people, and probably half to three quarters of them are very active and the others are not so active. But we have different views and opinions about what to do with this repeater and GMRS. We're still evolving some of that. Some of us, like me, would anticipate incorporating GMRS operators, if not directly into the club, into something like that. I have associates out in California, and I know of two neighborhoods out there that have their own GMRS repeaters and neighborhood associations.
So do they act in a way that I might describe as something like a neighborhood watch,
yes,
type way, so that it's just it's an enclosed little capsule that just basically is eyes and ears and keeps things communicated amongst a group of individuals, just because law enforcement can't be everywhere all the time?
They do that. Mm-hmm. They do some social activities. Mm-hmm. We in the club have what we call a radio net every week, where we all get together at a certain time on a certain day and talk to one another, and it's practice for emergency events, and it's social at the same time. Some of these GMRS groups do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see a GMRS group develop here in Buffalo, and maybe it'll develop in association with the Buffalo Amateur Radio Club, or maybe it'll develop on its own, but I could anticipate GMRS operators being a pool of people who would be available to do certain things. When we do the parade, we seldom have enough people, and we grab them from Sheridan, we get them from wherever we can. If we had a GMRS group and a GMRS pool of people, they could participate in the parade with us. So
is there a typical type of person you're looking for? I mean, for a start, is there an age requirement? Are you looking for only for people over 18 or 21 or so on? Or are you prepared to...
We're looking for you.
Kate, that's kind of a question that we haven't gotten to, but probably, you know, if it's someone under 18, we're going to have a parental release,
mm-hmm.
you know, type of situation. But I've talked with one of the Boy Scout leaders, done some work with them, and as a liaison, that's one of my functions with the American Legion. And there's a lot of interest. They actually have a merit badge for Boy Scouts. And there's a national organization, you use part of the name, Neighborhood Ham Watch or Neighborhood Radio Watch, and we're patterning a lot of what we're doing exactly after that so it can grow. I was speaking to neighbors where I live, and I'm about 8 miles out of town. There's 14 neighbors. Cell phone can be spotty out there. Power can even be crazy at times. And we're looking about, hey, if you've got a problem, first off, if the phones aren't working, you can get a neighbor real quick that might help with a small emergency.
Mm-hmm.
If they can get me, then I can get it onto my larger radio that'll go all the way to town, forget the hills, and then get and say, hey, we need an ambulance. We've got someone, and maybe going back, you were talking business users, maybe it's the rancher that, heaven forbid, has gotten out and had a rollover on his tractor. Those are extremely dangerous. They're fatal most of the time. But we may have that where he can get to a radio. He couldn't dial his number, but he might be able to make a broadcast. And I've talked with some radio ranchers. Might be able to say, I need help. And at least we know to start looking. We may not know where. But, you know, these are things where there's not an answer, but there's a tool to help find a solution.
Okay. Well, this is fascinating. And thank you very much for spending some time talking to me about, you know, amateur radio. I had no idea that it was really a thing here in Buffalo, and I wish you well in your endeavor to find more people. If your interest is piqued, then you will find how to connect with Robert and Gar here next to this post, and I wish you well with your class.
Well, thank you
very much,
Kate.
Gentlemen.
Thank you.